It's a new series on Mnet, which I've managed to get through an episode or so. It's called Recipes for Love and Murder. So if you imagine if the popular TV show of the 80s, Murder, She Wrote, but imagine that set in the Karoo. Imagine all the kerfuffles one could get into, and Mnet has done that. It's based on the book by local author Sally Andrews. It's a murder mystery / recipe book, Recipes for Love and Murder. It's been adapted for television, and it's proving to be a hit on our screens. The premise is quite simple. It's when a woman seeking advice about an abusive husband is found dead, and then recipe advice columnist Tani Maria and her colleagues, rookie journalist Jesse, they then spring into action. It really is a whodunit, but a whodunit set in the Karoo is so much fun. Joining me in studio is part of the cast, a very stellar cast, I might add. Tracy Khadija Higa in studio with us, as well as Kylie Fisher. How are you doing, ladies? Are you well? Did you have to spend some time in the Karoo? I love the Karoo.
Good morning. Yes, we did. We spent 3 weeks filming in the Karoo and then throughout different parts of Cape Town. But it was beautiful. It really, really was.
So who are your roles in this series? Kelly, I want to start with you. You are the intrepid local newspaper journalist who wants to uncover and shed light on all the murder mystery and also solve some corruption on the side. That is your essential premise in the story.
Yes. So I play Jessie September on Recipes for Love and Murder, and she is very energetic and she goes straight headfirst into anything that she thinks deserves her attention. So she is one energetic and lively character who holds nothing back, which is exciting.
And Miss Higa, you play Mrs. September, Charlene.
Yes,
September. Tell us about Charlene.
Charlene is a nurse. Sister, I really wanted her to be a matron, didn't do that, you know. And she is Jesse's mother. Mm. Not only Jesse's mother, she's also Bronwyn's mother, and Riley.
Riley's mother. Always say Zach because that's his name.
Zach is his name. And she's a single mother. Incidentally, Jesse's dad was kind of her, the love of her life. So Siem and I, well, very strong women, but also very vulnerable, I think, which is lovely because they're making it come through in the first season a little bit, you know, but she's had to hold this family up. Yeah. Mm. Yes. But she's very in charge.
Very.
That's what I'm getting so far is that, yes, we could have sort of correlations to a Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote. But I also thought of, what was that show with Jill Scott? The number one ladies detective agency.
I love that show.
Where the woman, the more mature woman and the young woman, of course, you know, doing the tough and dirty work to solve very gruesome murders and crimes. It's a really, really great premise to tell
Absolutely.
A story.
Yeah. What I liked really about this as well is it's got that kind of a quaintness about it, which actually belies all of the stuff happening around inside, under the surface stuff. So does this, sorry, can I lapse into Afrikaans?
Oh, yes.
So does Bayer Goedes wat aangaan undercover. And there's so many quirky characters, interesting quirky characters. And I think we had gotten into a bit of a rut. And I say this very tentatively because we have magnificent writers in this country and magnificent actors. But character-wise, I think we had become quite staid in how we characterize in particular older women. And so that's why I also love the character of Jennifer. Jennifer's character, Hattie. Where she's a little bit sexy and she's kind of, you know, she's almost like a little predator. Which for me is very cool. And yeah, we were cast slightly differently. Yeah.
you get small towns and then you get small towns.
Yes.
And I think when I say small towns, I think Ribicastel. Ribicastel is a small town, but there's a little bit of glitz. There's a there's a Boedorp and there's a Onedorp and there's the posh. But then you get real, you know, Karinki Mensa, a small town in the Karoo. And both those scenarios have the most fascinating stories in terms of characters and people. I've spent the last few weeks in Da'ar, and there's a family friend of my in-laws, Aunt Marty. And Aunt Marty, you hear down the street praying. She'll come to your house, have a conversation, drop the rusks, and before she leaves, I just want to yell a bit.
Yes.
And then she moves on again. City slickers in your own right.
Yeah.
How did you have to develop into these small town persons? Not quaint, not bumpkins, but also a small town philosophy, I guess, outlook.
I feel like in South Africa, that's what makes South Africa. Those big characters that you can't really place anywhere else in the world that we love and think about. You know, like everyone has that big personality that they know and they love. And so when the story is for South Africans and it's a South African story, so it's not that hard to fill those shoes because you're like, it's been written in such a brilliant way by Karen that you stepping into it is kind of half of the job, you know? And you can just envision that these characters, they live on their own. They're full characters, not like half, you know? Which, like you said, like writing-wise, is brilliant. So you, when you go with a character, you really are stepping into the shoes of strong women raise strong women and strong women work with strong women. And that's because every character is fully fledged. It's easy to play these characters to the fullest instead of giving like 10%.
Yes.
Khadija, you are a strong woman. I've known you for a while. I've known some of even your most recent work where you in a power suit.
Power suit?
Yes, you were in Iron Slay. There was one when you were in a power suit, and I think you were you were someone of real importance.
The mayor.
Yes, you were the mayor in Iron Slay. But small town nurse. I could see you as a nurse, but isn't that a little bit?
It's not difficult.
Trope for you.
And I'll tell you why it's not difficult. I mean, you may think that small town. The aspects that you specifically spoke of, the bit, very dear, and how this happens in Kensington, man. We have somebody that delivers a very specific super juices to the door. I'm not going to name her. And then she'll say, and bless you, hey, my sister, bless you. Yes, God is good, God is good. And in Kensington, this happens. You know, those people who live in the cities, in certain places in Cape Town, they still have, even if it's an unconscious connection route-wise to small towns, in certain kinds of behaviors, man. I mean, just yesterday, I actually got a little bit irritated because somebody walked past the gate and then they proceeded to stop there and talk to somebody they had just passed. Top volume! And I was like, okay, this is actually quite lovely. But at the same time, I'm going, can you leave me alone? Like, really? Can you just approach each other and talk to each other? Yeah. So there are elements of that in the city if we just look.
Yes.
When filming on location, also talking to residents who live there. I can speak from my experience where ik kan Afrikaans praat, maar ik praat Kaaps Afrikaans. People in Noord-Kaap praat nie Kaaps Afrikaans. So there's also, I fall onto that, but then there's also a level of class and a disconnect. And either I look at them funny or they look at me funny as someone who's, you know, a trained actor, lived in the city. I was that trying to connect to this character who was born and raised in a small Karoo town and sort of remove that
big city girl. I think you humble yourself every time you play a role to like understand this person's situation and their lifestyle. And you just want to always do it justice. I always kind of have this little prayer that I do with Jesse sometimes in the morning in the trailer. I'd just be like, I hope to do your story well, and I hope I do you justice, and anytime I don't, that you'll know it. You'll feel it. You know, you'll feel. And that's not on the method acting type side or in the foo-foo world. It really is just speaking to the character, because they are a person and they have their own life experiences. And you obviously have your own and you come with it, and they're not divorced of each other. So kind of saying, you know what? We'd have it even before our scenes where we'd speak like mother and daughter and we'd say, we're just going to give it what the scene needs or what this moment calls for. We're just going to live in that moment because that's all you can
do is to humble
yourself and really understand that you're there to be the storyteller, to carry out that job, but it's their story.
Did you feel you had to be true to a type of dialect, Afrikaans dialect?
There was no Afrikaans. I must tell you what happened to me. It's strange that you mentioned that, is that I lapsed, I think my first few days, I immediately assumed Afrikaans. And I had to go, nope. The script is English.
Yeah.
No, the script's English, because actually it's one of my first English roles. I've actually never really done English for film or TV. Isn't that interesting?
You do it so
makes me think that does it then. You have to think, do you want authenticity or do you want a product that is then easily then marketable elsewhere?
Yeah.
If the stories are so good, you would want it to go overseas, so I can then understand why it would be, okay, let's do this, you know, Afrikaans Karoo setup, but we do it in English.
So we could do here and there an Afrikaans word, like kunt or dankie, or, you know, but they asked us to keep it to a minimum because that then involves translation and so on. But yes, it was strange in the beginning for me when I was acting to do that character in English. I had to go, no, this is English, this is English, this is not Afrikaans. Don't start saying the words, because I'd automatically, unconsciously translate in my head what my lines were. But I, in terms of what Kylie was saying, and I gave a speech for the City Varsity Arts graduates recently. And I thought about what the message was. And one of the big messages for me, a number of things, was humility in terms of we are the custodians of stories.
1,000%.
And it doesn't matter whether you are the lead or not, or whether you are just the page turner or whatever you are. The fact is, everybody involved in the making of a story is the custodian of a story. And as long as you remember that, you can't become too big for your boots.
Yeah.
You shouldn't, actually. There are enough assholes in this industry who really
fell victim to that.
They unfortunately they start believing the lie. And the fact is that we tell stories, and those stories are precious. Somebody has sat up and written those stories, and sometimes experienced trouble writing those stories, you know, whatever the stories are, whether it's science fiction or whether it's about a small town, dorpie. The fact is, they were sweating over that story. So when you hold it in your hand and when you play a character, at least have a little bit of respect for the process, you know.
It's a whodunit. It is a murder mystery. There's glimpses of comedy and good naturedness. Morag sends a message. Morning list. I have to laugh when I hear the hen in the show being called Morag several times. My Christian name is Morag.
Oh.
I've read all the author's other books. It's so enjoyable. Thank you so much for the show. And look, if I want to make a reflection to Murder, She Wrote, that's sort of what Jessica Fletcher did, was she dealt with people being killed, which was very, very, very serious. But it's Jessica Fletcher, you know, tripping on a dock and falling into a boat at the bottom, and there's your punchline. Tell us about how obviously not giving away spoilers here, but is it a mystery per episode, or is it you looking to create a show or a mystery that will be uncovered by the final episode?
It's the latter. So you're following a murder that throughout the whole season. So that's kind of how the books are written as well. You follow a murder, and then there are stories in between. So that's how Tani Maria, with her column, she addresses stories and what may come in the community and how to, you know, deal with them through food. But we unravel the mystery slowly but surely in 10 episodes.
How were you approached for this? I spoke to you, and not to bring up the past too much, but I remember there's a point where you and I spoke. Do you remember, was that first few months of lockdown when you spoke about artists and performers? You were saying you'd write a poem for someone and you'll dedicate to them, you'll send it to them just to, you know, to support yourself. But then since the industry has gotten somewhat on its feet, I can't turn on a cake net of a cake net in Kio and or wherever and I see Khadija Yiga's face. It's how were you approached for this?
Now, can it just translate to my bank balance? Okay.
The only wish and dream of artists.
I was sent the script. I was sent Sides, which is a little bit of the script, and asked to portray the character. But the brief was intriguing for me because it was like, don't wear any makeup. Don't do it. And I went, yes, please, thank you. I don't have to do anything. I'm actually going to sit in a gown because it's the scene where she comes home. And this is played already, so I can say. And they changed it to the kitchen. So I'm standing in the kitchen waiting for her. Where were you? You know, kind of thing. I kind of breezed through that because it's the kind of no frill stuff that I prefer. Although I would like to play a very sophisticated villain. Is anybody listening?
I would love to see you in that role. I would love to.
I love shows where they intersperse the plot and the story and food. In this series is very much part of the cooking and there's the mystery. And it's like, you remember the show Hannibal?
Yes.
It was very morose, but Hannibal was the best cooking show.
Yes, it was.
It was cannibalism, but, you know, it
kept you coming back for more.
Fried the preparation bread. Of food, and I don't liver. Know if acting and performance is about the dialogue and the blocking and the presence of the actors on stage or on screen, but also when I see shots interspersed with food, preparation, cracking of eggs into the bowl, whisk, whisk, whisk. That is very, very pleasing for me. I don't know about you.
Yes. It makes you hungry when you watch.
Yeah, you're drooling throughout. Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me not so much of Hannibal. It reminds me of like Water for Chocolate, which was an art movie. Watch it.
I was
people.
About to say, adding to the list.
I mean, it's this food. I mean, the food is just so, I'm not going to tell the story, but she cooks her love for the other person. So it was. It's all. It has the same texture and feeling of that with all this color, and that's the other thing I like about the series is the color and the exquisiteness of that landscape. We couldn't. They couldn't have chosen a more beautiful place to shoot it.
I just want to talk about your relationship as characters, mother and daughter, nursing sister, which are firebrands in the own right. My grandma was a nursing sister, Su Ikvit. But also, I'm from a fraternity of journalists. My wife is also one. We also head to Ortsbecker.
Yes. Monetizing
that,
it.
That conflict will show itself between a single mother and a very, very independent daughter coming together. And that will also be part of the stories of the show. How are you guys dealing with it?
I think it's, for me, what was so exciting when reading the script was our relationship, because within the colored community, your relationship with your mother is so pivotal. You know, I am blessed enough to have a close relationship with my mom, and you see that as you get older, like as you get into your 20s, you're navigating a different kind of relationship. And you see that in the show. It's like Jessie's struggling with her independence and trying to juggle her job and trying to be a present sister and daughter. And you can't really sometimes have it all. And you see that her ignorance, bless her. She tries, but it gets the best of her. So her mom's always like, although they are strong women, I think that relationship to say, you can also lean on me, I'm your mother, and I will forever be that role. So it was refreshing too.
I just finally want to talk about it. Someone says here that they appreciate the show because there's no over glitz, there's no bling, but the cast is absolute stars, from Maria Kennedy to Tony Horo. Khadija, I know you. Kylie, Grant Swansby.
Yes.
Elton Landru. These are, are real current contemporary legends of South Africa's film and TV space. It must be absolutely amazing learning and feeding off each other.
Just lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. I'm particularly fond of Elton.
Yeah.
I mean, I really adore him as an actor. And Tony was really brilliant to work with as well. Daniel van der Walt.
Oh, wow. Just brilliant.
Benny Furi. It was just amazing. I mean, I didn't get to interact with everybody. I mean, I interact with Tony and with Elton and a lot with Jesse and the kids. And that relationship was very automatic to tap into, okay? As far as Jesse and I are concerned, in our relationship, my mother was a nursing sister. And they used to joke at work and say, when she was off, the witch is not here today. Because she was very strict. And I think, yes, we have a beautiful relationship, but I think that people will discover the relationship, there are issues.
Mm.
And I think that is quite normal with two strong women in a family. And Jessie wanting to fight for her own identity, because it's like, how do you become yourself with this very strong mother, you know, kind of thing. So there's that tension, which I think really does come through in the first season. But what does also come through, because it's easy to get lost in the tension and the troubles, is the almost, I think, violent love that Charlene September has for her kids. And by violent, I mean it's a very sort of protective, although, I mean, what happens is quite extreme.
Look, I've been appreciating, gleaming through the EPK that I got sent recently. I'm really looking forward to sitting down. It's available on Mnet Recipes for Love and Murder. Khadija Higa, Kylie Fisher, two of the stellar cast members. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck for the
show. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In the last 24 hours, what's happened in your world?
The EFF's Julius Malema and Mbuyiseni.